You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown. I've been covering the Orioles for more than a decade on CamdenChat.com and hosting this podcast for 110 episodes and counting. It is now April the 19th, 2024. The Orioles have a 12-6 record. They are on pace for a 100-win season through those first 18 games after sweeping the Minnesota Twins this week at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The streak of regular season series without being swept stands at 97, and more importantly, the Orioles stand just a half game behind the Yankees for the AL East lead. They were nearly in first place, except Toronto's bullpen blew a 4-2 ninth-inning lead on Wednesday, so the Yankees ended up winning the game. Too bad, but the Orioles still gained two games since the previous episode of this podcast, so not too bad after all. And as we know from the 2023 Orioles, it is entirely possible to chase down an AL East rival that starts off with what seems like an impossibly a hot streak that cannot be caught. It just takes winning a whole lot of games to do it. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the Orioles displaying some home run hitting prowess and whether there's much hope of that continuing. I'm also going to revisit the state of the Orioles rotation over the next several weeks based on some of this week's developments, particularly the injured list surprise stint for Tyler Wells, the fun debut for Albert Suarez, and a not-so-fun rehab outing for John Means. First up, home runs. It's always fun when the Orioles hit home runs. I know that's pretty obvious, but this week's debut of the Homer Hydration Station as the 2024 evolution of the Homer Hose is another example of the team having impeccable vibes, I think. The added touch of the four-hose beast apparently converted from a $90 retail product known as Bongzilla that people who partied harder than me in college, which is to say if you partied at all, may have directly experienced with liquids other than water. That just takes it to the next level and really now has me and maybe also you in anticipation for when the Orioles hit an Earl Weaver special, a three-run home run, or even a grand slam so that we can get to see three or four guys lined up to take a drink at once. Wednesday afternoon's game, as the Orioles finished off the sweep, even brought an extra development of the bullpen having its own homer hose, apparently the old homer hose, which Melanie Newman explained is drinks from that are doled out based on the bullpen having a pick-to-click game going during each game. And if your guy homers, you get to be the one who drinks out in the bullpen. So it's just amazing. The Orioles, they're able to continue to do all this fun home run stuff because they're hitting a lot of home runs. After the Twins series, they lead all MLB teams, having hit 30 dingers. Not only do they lead the league, But as Orioles.com beat writer Jake Rill noted in an article, this is the most home runs an Orioles team has ever hit through 18 games, the same number of games they've played right now, in franchise history. So obviously that's a bit of a cherry-pick stat, but nonetheless, anytime you're getting good stats that this has never been done going back to 1954, that's good signs. Right now, the Orioles have six players who have hit at least four home runs, and at the 18-game threshold, that is exactly one-ninth of the season. So that is to say there are six players on the Orioles who are on pace to hit 36 or more home runs, because you can just multiply everything by nine. Now, this would be awesome. Also, it's extremely unlikely to happen. Every year, there is early on pace for silliness. It's fun to say and think about, you know, across the whole league, but it pretty much never happens. You know, over a 162-game season, there's cool-off periods, and nobody's going to, well, I don't want to say nobody, but it's highly unlikely there's going to be six guys with 36 or more home runs at season's end. But we'll see how many they can get. But there's these are the six guys with four or more homers right now. It's Colton Cowser, Ryan O'Hearn, Anthony Santander, and Jordan Westberg with four. Cedric Mullins has five. Gunnar Henderson with six. Now, four of these six guys, which is everyone except for Mullins and Santander, have great batted ball data up to this point. So for them, big reason to think they can continue something like it. Mullins, his stuff is fine, so I think there's even reason to hope that some of his power prowess will continue. Santander, not so much. But O'Hearn, particularly, he's on a ridiculous heater with literally 100th percentile numbers for StatCast expected batting average, expected slugging percentage, and expected WOBA, the weighted on-base average. An X-slug of 824. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's only seven times a player has ever achieved that in the Major League record books in a full season. A number of the ones who did are Negro Leagues players who only had about 300 plate appearance sample sizes. And the only one to do it since the end of World War II is Barry Bonds in 2001. So again, I mean, all of this stuff is small sample size territory for now, but it's really something. It's just amazing. O'Hearn, he's doing it while barely striking out, under 10% for the strikeout percentage. Now, part of this is because the Orioles are making sure O'Hearn almost never faces a lefty, to such an extreme that in Wednesday's game, they pinch hit the ice-cold Austin Hayes rather than have O'Hearn hit against a lefty reliever. But you know what? If O'Hearn only ever faces right-handed pitching, there's more right-handers than left-handers, so we'll absolutely take everything O'Hearn is giving right now as a strong side platoon player. Henderson's StatCast data, that's got 100th percentile on there as well. His average exit velocity of 96.9 miles per hour is keeping it 100. It's easy to do that when you're hitting the ball hard 61.1% of the time. Now, that's merely 99th percentile. But, you know, as Henderson won the Rookie of the Year award a year ago with an 814 OPS for the full season, I thought, and maybe I was just wearing orange-colored glasses, you could still sense that this maybe wasn't even going to be the best we were going to see from Gunnar Henderson offensively. And so far, in 2024 at least, we're definitely seeing Henderson in another gear. It's amazing. It's not even like it's a case of comical batted ball luck, because Henderson has a BABIP, again, batting average on balls in play, of 313. His career mark is 311, so he's right about where you would expect. And so there's not a lot of reason to believe that there's batted ball-based regression coming for him. So that's great, too. And then there's the buddy comedy duo of the goofy Cowser and the more reserved Westberg. They're also coming in with a lot of red on their StatCast pages. Red is good on StatCast because it signifies heat. Cowser, he's been elite so far at barreling up balls, as well as not chasing pitches outside the strike zone. That second one, he is 95th percentile. It's really great. Westberg, he's hitting it pretty hard, if not as hard as Henderson. Exit velocity average of 94.1 miles an hour. So at the moment, you know, Mike Elias looking pretty good in using a top two draft pick on this group of players. Santander, he's the one guy who's hit a few dingers so far, even as his StatCast page has a lot of blue. Blue signifies cold. That's bad. His X stats, they are not good. That starts with a .218 expected batting average, going up to a .366 expected slugging percentage. Guys who are at a .366 X slug, they're probably not homering 30 plus times a year. And Santander's numbers overall, they're just not good. A .203 batting average, .243 on base percentage. Oh my God, it is so bad. .406 slugging percentage. So at least when he is hitting it, he is generally hitting it with power. The power number, that's ISO, isolated slugging. A .203 ISO is pretty darn good. But Santander, he's chasing pitches outside the zone more than 40% of the time. That's probably part of why he's only got a 2.7% walk rate so far. So when he does hit, so far he's not hitting it hard on average, although he has a few times. So I don't know. We'll see where everything settles in for Santander as the season goes along. But at least for now, he is not looking like he's playing towards the get a qualifying offer at year's end level of performance that we were maybe optimistically hoping for him before the season. So yeah, that is six guys on pace for 36 or more. It's not happening. I am curious, however, how many of these guys have the potential to end up at 25 or more home runs. A year ago, the Orioles had only two players get 25 or more home runs, which was Henderson and Santander, who tied for the team lead at 28. So nobody even went over 30. Right now, I think things are looking pretty good for Henderson to end up at 30 or maybe even 35 or more home runs. With the kind of quality contact O'Hearn, Westberg, and Kowser are all making, I like their chances at 25 or more home runs as well. Mullins, well, we know he's already got a 30-homer season on his resume since he was able to do that in his 30-30 season. Maybe him having already hit five home runs is a sign he's going to be able to get closer to that again. Maybe not another 30-30, but maybe he can double up as 20-20 or even something like 25-25. And the number of guys hitting a bunch of home runs, that's something the Orioles were missing last year, even as they went 101-61. I think it's going to be great if they can find it for 2024, and I definitely think that if they're able to get so far as the postseason, having more prolific power hitters is going to benefit them as they potentially make it back into shorter postseason series, because especially in the postseason, the team that hits more home runs in a given game generally wins, so it's really a big deal. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then I'm going to talk about the current picture of the rotation and a little bit about this weekend's pitching matchups in the Royals series.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so you know what else is fun about the Orioles right now? Albert Suarez, who was pressed into service for Wednesday's start when Tyler Wells was unexpectedly placed on the injured list with elbow inflammation before Tuesday's game. The result was that the 34-year-old Suarez got to make his first MLB appearance in 2,395 days. That is nearly seven full years. Just what a story. I mean, and it's great that he was able to help out the Orioles with 5 2/3 scoreless innings in that kind of emergency start. You know, it's regrettable that the Orioles bullpen blew his chance at getting a win in his return to MLB after so long. Now, some quick apologies for being a Debbie Downer here, but before we get carried away about Suarez, it is important to keep a couple things in perspective. First, the Twins' offense to date stinks. They are the worst in the AL in batting average, 13th out of 15 teams in the league in on-base percentage, as well as slugging percentage. Three of their key guys were on the injured list for the series that the Orioles just swept. Second, there's no shortage of players who've come up and made one or two good starts, and the league then quickly catches up to them. One that came to mind for me, because that's the kind of weirdo I am, is Chris Waters dropping 8 shutout innings on the Angels back in 2008. Waters finished that season with an ERA over 5. A bit more recently, in 2015, Mike Wright started his career with back-to-back 7-plus inning shutout outings against the Angels and Marlins. Even with that, he had an ERA over 5 within 6 starts. He's finished what looks like finished a major league career with an ERA of almost 6, 5.97. So the early good outing for Chris Waters was worth nothing. 2 early good outings for Mike Wright was worth nothing. These are hardly the only examples. They're just the first 2 that come to mind for me as an Orioles fan. But then again, it is not unheard of for pitchers to end up flunking their way out of Major League Baseball for a while. They head over to Japan or South Korean baseball for a while, and then they migrate back to MLB as more successful pitchers. The 2012 Orioles found Miguel Gonzalez, then 27 years old, pitching in the Mexican Winter League in 2011. He arrived early that 2012 season, went on to have 4 good seasons in his time in MLB. Suarez, at 34, he's older than Gonzalez was. He already had some MLB experience, and Gonzalez, of course, was not found out of the Japanese or South Korean leagues. Not a one-to-one comparison, but I do think the absolute 100% best-case scenario for Suarez now that he's appeared here in 2024 would be Gonzalez's 2012. Pretty darn good, an ERA plus of 130, which is to say 30% better than league average, over 105 and a third innings that year. So, I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with Suarez. 48 hours ago, I think you could have assumed that Suarez or Bruce Zimmerman would get 2 spot starts until John Means was done with his rehab, and then Means would supplant that guy in the rotation. I've been trying to talk myself into things working out okay for Means as he progressed through some not terribly exciting results over the course of his rehab assignment. It really got pierced when Means was blasted on Wednesday evening, recording 1 out while failing to even finish the first inning against the Marlins AAA team. I think he's got at most 2 more rehab starts after this one. The Wednesday outing, I think, was when it was when I really wanted to start to see some results against high minors hitters. And maybe even more importantly, I wanted to see Means able to build up into the 75 to 80 pitch range so that you can start to feel like, okay, he's going to be able to throw 90 to 100 pitches once he's back with the big league Orioles. And he threw 34 while getting just 1 out on Wednesday. They were hitting the ball hard against him. His fastball velocity was not where it has been when he had success. I don't know. Maybe it will turn out he's still just rounding into form, and he'll look fine by the time it is time for him to return to MLB and everything counts on his career big league ledger. But to me, at this moment, it seems irresponsible to just assume Means will be fine being dropped into the rotation at the end of the month or maybe within days of the start of May. And if the team was counting on Means, and that's why they opted not to, just for instance, be a part of the late signing market of Jordan Montgomery, I don't know, that decision, that one might not work out. The first rehab outing, however, went a whole lot better for Kyle Bradish earlier this week as he was working back from his UCL sprain, for which he received a platelet-rich plasma injection back in January. In contrast to Means' appearance, where it was just kind of muted noting of going through the work, manager Brandon Hyde talked about getting good reports about how Bradish's stuff looked. And, you know, at least for the 3-inning start against AA batters, there were good results too, as Bradish had 3 scoreless innings with only 1 hit allowed. I still think he's likely to go for most of the full 30 days of rehab just to build back up his pitch count, shake off the rust. But, you know, that first good outing leaves less reason to dread about when he'll get back or what he'll look like when he does, which, again, is not something that we've been able to do for Means' rehab so far. I do think getting things sorted out with the Orioles' rotation is going to be important for the progress this season because, well, so far the team is 4-0 in Corbin Burns starts, 4-0 in Grayson Rodriguez starts, and just 4-6 in anyone else's starts. Wells, He didn't look too good before landing on the injured list. Dean Kramer has not been any good yet. Cole Irvin has been worse. So maybe Suarez has the barest tentative foothold after his one start, and even that could be easily wiped out if he gets blasted by the Angels on Tuesday. I don't want that to happen, but it's absolutely possible that Suarez is going to get one good big league start in his return, and that's all he's going to get. If things get to the point where the Orioles want to sub in a prospect in the rotation, either because of injury, desperation, or ineffectiveness, before they're able to maybe trade for someone in July, there's really only one guy in Norfolk so far who looks like he might earn a shot, and that is lefty prospect Cade Povich. His fellow prospects, Justin Armbruster and Chase McDermott, they just aren't getting it done so far, or at least not as I reckon it, looking at the minor league stat lines. Armbruster, he's walked 10 batters in 11 and two-thirds innings, has an ERA over 10. Not good. Not good at all. McDermott, well, his ERA is only 4.24. Not bad. But he has walked 17 batters in 17 innings. So I don't have very high hopes that is going to translate to immediate major league success. Now, Povich, on the other hand, he's done everything I would have liked to see from him through three starts. Continuing to strike out batters at a high rate, he's got a strikeouts per nine of 13.2 early on. So basically 1.5 strikeouts for every inning. Pretty darn good. He's only issued 5 free passes over 16 and a third innings. So Povich, he was not so good in 10 AAA starts a year ago. So I would like to see him at least performing, I think, through Memorial Day before starting to think of him as a potential option for the Orioles rotation in 2024. But I'm glad to see some early encouraging signs that he might be taking the step forward that I was hoping for from him and that the Orioles might well need from him. Looking ahead to the starting rotation for this weekend in particular and the matchups, it's really going to be a test of whether the Orioles can reverse the bad, lose a lot when Burns and Rodriguez aren't pitching trend. Also a tough test of whether they can stay undefeated in Burns starts. Kramer starts on Friday, Irvin starts on Sunday, and even the Burns start on Saturday is going to see him matched up against Cole Reagans, who has looked great for the Royals. A 1.93 ERA over 4 starts to date, really looking like the 2023 rebuilding Royals did a great job in targeting him in their trade they made where they sent Aroldis Chapman to the Rangers last July, much to my chagrin as a perma lifelong Royals hater due to the 2014 ALCS. The Royals rotation, it's really been great overall. There's two other guys with an ERA under 2 so far. One of these is Seth Lugo, who is the starter listed for Sunday afternoon's game. And then there's Alec Marsh. He's the worst of the bunch at a mere 4.32 ERA, who will be starting opposite Kramer on Friday. And even Marsh largely dominated the Orioles in his season debut on April the 2nd, allowing just one run in 7 innings. So, you know, hopefully the Orioles hitters can do better on the road now that they've seen him once already. The Orioles did kind of fluke into 2 walk-off wins in their last series with the Royals in Baltimore. They're not going to have the advantage of the last at-bat in Kansas City. The Royals, I mean, they were thought to not be a terribly good team before the season. They have started off 12-7. A number of things are going right for them. So I don't think this is going to be an easy series like we might have thought 3 weeks ago. Don't forget, you can drop a message to me at CamdenCastPod@gmail.com or show up on Camden Chat and get my attention in the comments where I go by the name EatMoreSK. And in doing either of these things, you can get a question or topic into the mailbag for a future episode of the show. That's all that I've got for today. If you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and maybe tell an Orioles fan friend about it too. Thank you for listening and subscribing. I will be back on the regular schedule on Monday morning to talk about whatever's happened in Birdland between now and then, hopefully a few awesome games against the Royals. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown, signing off.